Don't let me forget, after I have a letter to read to y'all. We received a letter in the mail this week I think y'all will enjoy. So if I forget, wave at me. We do that? It's from Justin Ellison, in case you're wondering. I'll take some of the mystery out of it. He just sent us a little thank you for the summer, so I thought I'd read that to everyone. Did y'all enjoy Roger?
Yeah.
He's a great guy, isn't he? Get to have lunch with him. Well, it varies, either once or twice a month. There's a group of preachers that get together, and he's a part of that group. In fact, really, he was probably one of the ringleaders in getting it going. So I always enjoy my conversation, my lunches with Roger, and I knew y'all would have a treat being with him. So appreciate him being here. And because I know Roger well, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Colossians." And so he wanted to know what the next section was, so he took that and worked with it a little bit. So I can't let it go. Can I do one thing out of that section? I mean, I'm going to do one thing out of the section, because I mean, it was a big section. There's a lot you could emphasize. And the thing that I wanted to do is this business about we proclaim Christ. In other words, Paul made that his mission, is we proclaim Christ. And of course, this comes from our text today is Colossians 2, 6 through 8. You can bring that up if you want. But right before that, Paul will tell you, it is my mission to proclaim Christ and to make you, now the NIV has perfect, a lot of times I prefer the word mature, because perfect can have all kinds of implications and get us all balled up. But I want to proclaim Christ and I want to present you guys as mature. Okay, and the point that I wanted to do with that, if I had preached that section, is to say, just as Paul proclaimed Christ, we do also. We do also. That is not something that we get and we keep. It is something that we also proclaim. We proclaim Christ. And now that doesn't mean that we've got to always be saying His name. There are a lot of ways we can portray and proclaim Christ, isn't there? In fact, Max had a very interesting little point here. When we observe the Lord's Supper, what do? Max, we proclaim Christ. We teach a sermon. And I, by the way, I appreciate all your comments. My last sermon, the one before Thanksgiving on the what should go on the communion table, I loved all the scriptures y'all gave me. I appreciate that very much. In fact, that's the one Max gave me. I gave him a seed for today, that thing. Yeah, until he comes. Yes, by the side, I did find a communion table that has that written on it, until he comes. Thought that was interesting. I did as I was looking at pictures. So anyhow, appreciated your comments on all that. Got some material for next Thanksgiving. How does that sound? Got a lot to work with there. We proclaim Christ. And we can do that in a lot of ways. We do it in all kinds of aspects of our life. How we conduct ourselves at work. How you treat people. All kinds of different ways that says who your Lord is. And I got to thinking about it, and you know, what's becoming more and more important and big in our age today, maybe not for everybody in here, but more and more there's an online presence, isn't there, of the ways that we portray ourselves. I mean, Facebook, how many people does Facebook have on it in the world today? Is it a billion? It's an amazing number when you consider the amount of people that are just on Facebook, and Facebook is what? A face you present. You know, I've got a blog that I do. I present things there. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways. We need to make sure that in all aspects of our life, Christ is proclaimed. Okay? Now, that's all I wanted to do. I'd have had a lot more to say on that, but I just wanted to get that point in because I'm working my way through Colossians. Paul proclaimed Christ so that he could present us mature, and I think by implication so that we can proclaim Christ. Does that take care of last week? Ready for today? Very good. Well, you have our text on the screen. Comes from Colossians 2:6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Now, there's a lot I could say in there. There's a lot I could say, but I want to start off this way. You received Christ as Lord. Now, yes, one of these days, I think everybody is going to proclaim Him Lord in the sense that their knee is going to bow and they're going to realize who He was. We good? So yeah, at some point in time, I think everybody's going to say, oh, He is Lord, whether or not they already knew it or whether or not they're figuring it out at that point. But I'm talking about right now where we are. If you received Christ as Lord, it was not something that was forced on you, was it? It was something you accepted. That's what I think one of the points Paul is getting at here. This is something you accepted. You see, I got to thinking about it. I've got a little lowercase L. I've got a little Lords. I've got a lot of Lords in my life. How about you? I've got a wife. Amen, guys? Something to that, right? That's like say lowercase L. Well, all right, that was just kind of a joke to lead in here. I got to thinking about it. I got an HOA that's got an opinion about a lot of stuff. You ever dealt with an HOA? That's a lot of fun. Did I ever tell you all about the letter I got from them? You cannot have fighting roosters on your property. I said, what? You cannot have fighting, you know, it's fun. We're building our fence. I mean, all kinds of problems there in building our fence. You don't have the permit. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. You know, and it's amazing how powerful those people can be, isn't it? You ever fight those folks? You know, you can't fight City Hall. Yeah, that kind of thing. I got to thinking about it. You know, I've got the HOA. Now, I'm not in the city limits, but I'm in the county. That's another Lord I've got, isn't it? They got a say on what things are. Then, of course, you live in the state of Texas. You think they got some things they won't tell you about? What about the U.S. government? Think they got, you know, in other words, you just start adding it up. You've got lowercase L, little lords all in your life that you just soon not have. I was thinking about this, and I remember years ago when it was the year was up and it was time to go get the car inspected. You've got to go face the inspector. Now, we grew up in the country and we use the closest one. And now I'll be fair here. I found out later. The guys that do car inspections really don't make much money. Not on a car inspection. It's very little money that they make. And the guy that we used, you know how he would pad his bottom line? What he'd do is he'd bring your car into the thing. He'd inspect it. Everything would be fine. But he'd bring this machine over that checked the alignment on your headlights. And he might just get there and do one turn of the screw and then charge you an extra $5 because he adjusted your headlight. Now, we paid it. Why? Because you got to have that inspection or you're going to have a talk with the cops, right? And that's going to cost you more. So you take it. But in other words, now this is my take, my opinion. I think the guy said, I got to pad my bottom line here a little bit, and I'm going to turn this screw one time like this or like this, and I'm going to get $5 extra out of this. And you know what? Unless we want to go somewhere else where they could probably do the same thing, there's not a lot we can do. So what do? You just pay the extra $5, right? Because in that little garage, he is Lord. It's not that way with Jesus. This was something you said yes or no to. This was something you said yes or no to. And Paul is reminding him of this. You accepted Jesus as Lord. And that means something. Now, here's the other point I want to make about that is simply this. Now, I don't want to argue about this too much. I'm just telling you how I feel. Okay? Very often, all these little lowercase lords we have in life, do you ever get the idea it's really about them and not you? Amen? Like I say, my inspection guy with the turn of the screwdriver, a half a turn, and says, now $5. Who was that about? Was that really about making my car safer, or was it about putting $5 in his pocket so he can keep a shop open? Okay, we know which it is, right? We need to answer that question? Yeah. You see, very often in life I have found that all these little lords that you've got, it's about them and not you. It's just the opposite with Jesus. With Jesus, it is about you. It is about making you better. It is about helping you be who you ought to be. You see, my HOA, the county, the state, the federal government, what do they want? Can you just pay up? And yes, I know, that's the part I want to argue about. Yes, they provide services. I am not anti-government, all that kind of thing. We good? But I find very often when I'm dealing with these kind of entities, it is not about you, it is about them. It is not that way with the Lord. You accepted Him, and it is about Him trying to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. And I promise you, it is a better place. And Paul is reminding them about that. Okay? So you have accepted Jesus as Lord. Now, notice the other thing in this text. You've got this business about overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, I want to allude to that again because I did earlier. And I said when we started this series, one of the things I am finding in my life more and more as I live is the Christian life is lived out of a base of thankfulness. Out of a base of thanksgiving. Yeah, and sometimes we have that obligation aspect that comes in. But when it's really working the way it's supposed to, it's based on thanksgiving. I am thankful for the Lord. and what he has done. And one of the ways that I've tried to make sense out of this in my life, and the tragedies and the problems that have come along, is that even when it's something that it's very hard to give thanks for. Have you been there, church? Even when it's something that is very, very hard to give thanks for, I can at least fall back on this one thing, or at least I have so far in my life. There may be something biting me one of these days. I can't do this, but I'm going to try. I can at least be thankful that in Jesus, there is a promise. It's not always going to be that way. Amen, church. I think I told y'all, when my father passed away, one of the young ladies that was a student at Sam Houston was in our campus ministry, sent me a card. And it was the card you buy at the store that had a nice little saying. And all she wrote below was, "Aren't you glad this isn't forever?" She gets it, doesn't she? There was a simple element of thanksgiving, even when my father passed, that what? We're going to be together again. This isn't final. So what we do in our lives grows out of thanksgiving. You remember our theme for this series, living intentionally? Because it's very easy to live unintentionally, isn't it? It's very easy to just pass through life distracted and with all the stuff going on. In fact, I got a kick out of Barbara John. She's walking down the hall trying to read the bulletin and go to classroom, and she's doing it like this, right? And we joked about that for a second. She's a distracted walker. Yeah. Now, I say that in fun just because it popped up this morning and thing, but we live very distracted lives. And I think this letter to the Colossians is about you need to live intentional lives. Now, look at the things we talked about just this morning. If you are going to proclaim Christ, is that always easy in your life? It's not for me. When he says, turn the other cheek, that is not my first reaction. Is it yours? You hit me. I want to. I got to think about this thing before I act like he wants me to. See, very often in life, it is not my first go-to thing. I have to be intentional in my life about proclaiming Christ. I have to be intentional in my life about thanksgiving. Because my default mode is not thanksgiving. How about you? Amen? Mine didn't. I have to be intentional in my life about thanksgiving. You see the kind of things that Paul is giving them here? About living intentionally? Because I'm telling you, thanksgiving doesn't always come easy to me. It's something that I've got to learn to do. If you'll notice in the text there, you see this business about strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Excuse me, you see that up there? One of the things, I want to tie this intentional thing into there. Because again, Paul's just giving a lot of little tidbits here about how to live life. What we're doing here this morning is great. Say amen. Right? We're good, right? I mean, it's good to come together. It's prayed. It's good to come together and remember the Lord. And boy, it's good to come together and hear this sermon and learn, right? It doesn't stop here. You see, there is a responsibility I have as a preacher in this church to teach and to preach and to do certain things. That doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility to study also. In other words, the faith here that we're talking about is not just, I'm going to believe harder. Okay, that's good in and of itself, I guess. This means I'm going to believe harder. There is a content to the faith that we're talking about here. In other words, when you talk about the faith you have received, it is something you have been taught and you grow in it. And it makes all the difference in how you live intentionally. In other words, let me give you an example. What do you think about this universe we live in? Did it just happen? Or is God behind it? Now I'm probably talking to a group this morning that say God's behind it. We good? Alright. But there's a whole other way of thinking out there that says, well, it just happened and we're a product of chance. You're familiar with that way of thinking, right? Okay, you've been introduced to both of those. Think about it for a second. Which one of those you pick determines where you come out on stuff, doesn't it? You better be intentional about where you think about things. One of my little, it's a pet peeve when people use the word, well, this is logical. Well, you know what? Logical doesn't necessarily get you anywhere if your premises are bad. In other words, people will say, well, this is logical, which means you ought to accept it. No, it's logical. Yeah, I agree with you. What you just said is logical, but you've got a very flawed premise up here, which makes your conclusion bad. Make sense? So, we bat that word logical around. And the hard part is really, in my mind, is not really being logical. It's where do you get your premises that you're going to work from? And I'm trying to tell you, do you believe that God is behind this universe and He is the reason it is here and you are here? That changes everything about how you face the world this week. Do you believe that God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and everybody is going to be blessed because of you? And I'm doing the Barry version here. I'm not quoting directly. You believe that? Yeah. It changes things, doesn't it? It changes things. Do you believe that out of Abraham, God is going to bring Jesus into the world so that He can reconcile the world back to Himself? That changes things for how you live, doesn't it? It makes a difference. And that's what I'm talking about here with this. He talks about strengthening yourself in the faith. Understand these stories and believe them and live them. Believe them and live them. I think, my opinion, in the New Testament where it talks about the mystery of God, I think it's Jesus. How He is reconciling the world back to Himself through Jesus Christ. Yeah. It changes everything about how you live. Is there a purpose to your life or not? If you believe there's a purpose to your life, it changes how you're going to live this week. If you don't think there's any purpose, it's going to change how it's going to affect how you live. We need to be people of intention. We need to be grounded in the faith. And that's something bigger than just believing harder. You know, just, okay, I got more faith. No. It's about understanding and living it. And it changes things. It makes a difference. Now, there's another part to this you'll catch down here in verse 8. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, empty, vain philosophy. Now, there's in that ancient Mediterranean world where Paul would have been working, there were lots of philosophies. They would have been identified as such. I mean, you've probably seen them. You see a few names that get batted around in the New Testament. But these philosophies were there, especially when Paul's at Athens. You see him debating and taking on some of these type of things. The Epicureans, the Stoic, all this kind of stuff. Those things were out there. And there were even traveling philosophers that would go around. And they would and there were schools of thought. There were schools of philosophy. All this kind of stuff. It was all out there. It was a very interesting mix of stuff. And some people were very eclectic. If you go back and read Cicero, he basically will tell you, I'm a picker of all. I go through all these different philosophies and I pick out the thing that makes the most sense to me. And he'd tell you, I look at these and this one and this one and this one, and I'm very eclectic in the way that I do things. So you can see that in Cicero even. So you see all these different types of things. And Paul is trying to warn them, look out guys, because there's some hollow, empty, dare we say useless stuff out there. Now, can we make it modern? Can we make it current? Well, bookstores are becoming harder and harder to find, aren't they? I mean, Borders went out of business recently. We've still got Barnes & Noble. Go up to Barnes & Noble today. And by the way, I love Barnes & Noble. I love going in there. It's just something about all those books. It's just a great place to be. I love half-price books, too, because you get it on the down low there. I love going into those places. But just go to the section today. And what I would suggest to you, if Paul was going to modernize this, he might say something about the self-help section at the bookstore. Have you been there and seen how big that is? And the interesting thing is, if you go by and look at it every once in a while, which I like to just like see what's there, you notice how there's some books that stay there, but you notice how it's always changing? There's more and more self-help, right? Yeah. In other words, I think Paul would probably say to us today, instead of worry about philosophies, we don't really have any philosophy. Philosophies become so technical, it's not really what Paul was talking about. In other words, you'd have people that would come to town and say, I can tell you how to be happy. I can tell you how to live fulfilled. I can tell you how to do all these type of things. Sign on with me. Well, you can still get into that. But philosophy, like at the universities, would just become very technical in a field. I don't know if it's really what Paul was referring to as much as. He would probably say, stay out of the self-help section. Now, let me do a disclaimer for a second. I am not saying that everything in the self-help section is bad. We good, church? So I don't want to hear about that today on the way out. I promise you there are some good books in the self-help section. There's probably some good advice. I have a feeling, no, don't get mad at me. At once in his life, even Hitler probably said something true. Probably. Yeah, it's shocking. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Everybody understand I am not advocating him? We good? I'm just saying probably once in his life he said something true. Okay. I'm just saying that there are good things in the self-help section. I am not trying to say to anybody that if you go to the self-help section, I'm trying to make you feel bad. Are we good there? The word is this, and this is what Paul is trying to caution on. Be careful. Be cautious. One of the things that ought to scare you in life, and one of the little things you ought to use, is when somebody says, well, you need Christ plus, and then whatever they put after that. That's what ought to scare you. So again, I am not saying going to counseling is bad. Are we good? There are good counselors in the world that can help you. Amen? We're there. I am not saying that every book in the self-help section is bad. But can we at least agree there is some garbage there? And you ought to be careful about how you approach that. That's what Paul is trying to warn about here. That's what Paul is trying to warn about here, is that we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in something, well, you've got the idea here of hollow. I want to say empty. Isn't that what something hollow is? It's empty. May look good on the outside, but it's empty. Yeah. You see, it really matters where you start. It really matters where you start. And there's a lot of stuff out there that can be dangerous. Let's end it this way. What you focus on in life, what you hold up in life, is what you're probably going to become like. I don't know if I've shared this story with y'all before or not. Let me do it now, because it's such a good story. I was trying to figure out graduate school. I was graduating, and I was trying to figure out graduate school, and I was talking to one of my professors, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about this and this and this. And he gave me some advice that has always stuck with me. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, all these schools you're looking at, he said, look at the graduates they're turning out. See what they're like. And if you want to look like that, then go there. Does that make sense? Because they're turning out a product. In fact, you can get yourself in trouble if you're in complete opposition to the graduate department. Had a young man, brilliant young man that I had at Sam Houston, and he got a full ride for his PhD. I'm not going to name the school. It was out of Texas. How about that? Does that make everybody feel better? It was out of Texas. And I remember talking to him after he'd gone up there. He'd call me on the phone. He said, I don't know what I've walked off into here. And he figured out basically that he could not get his degree there because the way the department was so opposite of where he was trying to go and what he was trying to become. Does that make sense? So anyway, that was some of the best advice I ever got in trying to look at graduate schools and where to go, is look at the people they turn out, and do you want to be like that? And I think, and you're going to keep hearing this from me time and time again as we go through this series, I think Paul is trying to say to them, hold Jesus up as who you want to be like. That's how you live. That's who you become. Can you do that? Can you do that, church? You see, don't get caught in stuff that's empty and hollow, because it's there. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of that stuff sounds good. I've heard a lot of things that sound good. Yeah. Don't get caught up in that. Hold Christ up as the example, and be formed in His image. We good? Now, next week, we'll get into why. Because that's what Paul's fixing to do as you read on through. He's about to tell you why you need to do this. So that it's not just blind walking in. So if you've got a big why, come back next week. If you don't have a big why, come back next week. And we'll give you a why. But that's where we're heading. He's about to tell us that Jesus is the reason and why. Okay? All right, we've set the tone, I guess. We're going to extend our invitation at this time. Have you named Jesus as Lord in your life? If you haven't, why not? And why not today? Make Him your Lord. If you're ready to be baptized, let's do it today. If there's something we need to pray about this morning, let's do it. If there's something we need to talk about this morning, let's do it. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds. I'll be at the back. Well, that'll be there with me. Let's stand and sing. You have your bulletin, and there on the back page you have a number of our prayer requests. So I would call your attention to those and take a look there. And I guess also just to mention, please keep Larry Byram in his recovery from his surgery, from his open heart surgery, and also keep Art in your prayers. Continue praying for them. I received a letter this week from Justin Ellison, the young man that was with us this summer, and I thought this would be a great time to read this to y'all. So, dear Lake Travis Church of Christ family, I just want to say how grateful I am to have had the opportunity to work with and fellowship with y'all this summer. He's a West Texas boy, isn't he? It was so much fun and such a great experience. Y'all are such a great body of believers and are doing so much good for the Lord's kingdom in Lakeway. I also want to thank y'all for the prayers and visits I received while I was in the hospital. They meant so much to me. It means so much to have such a loving, godly family 300 plus miles from my house. Thank y'all. I have since fully recovered and am capable of doing everything I was doing before my lung collapsed. That made a real impression on him and the family when he went to the hospital here and the way everybody looked after him and took care of him. It made an impression on him and especially his dad who came down. So, I am sorry it has taken me so long to get this letter written and sent to y'all. I have been super busy with work and school, and any time I have thought about sitting down and writing the letter, I have been somewhere that I could not write it. Then I would forget when I could. I've been there. You? Thank y'all again for everything you did for me and for the Christ-like example you set in the Austin area on a day-to-day basis. I love y'all, Justin Ellison. So thought I'd share that with y'all and let you have that. So we're going to enter into our time of prayer this morning, and we'll have an opportunity for everyone to pray, and we'll close the prayer this morning with the singing of the song on the screen. Let's bow.
Father,